Today on Older and Wiser.
Ever made a fashion choice you just can't live down? Most of us have. Today we'll list some of the worst.
Also, there's a good chance your house is out of style. We'll reveal what today's home buyers want and hate.
Also, we'll look at the risk of playing favorites when making out your will. And what are the chances your cat is fat?
You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Hey folks, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora up in the Bay Area. And today, as always, we are looking through public opinion surveys. Today, right at the top of our list, we're looking at some bad decisions we've made over the years. According to this survey, 2 out of 3 Americans have a previous fashion choice or hairstyle that haunts them.
Oh,
you have one of those? I'm sure you have more
than a couple. I'm having flashbacks.
According to this poll from One Poll, they asked 2,000 Americans about this and found that 66% of Americans have a cringeworthy look or fashion regret from their past that they simply cannot bear to think about. Are you in that group, Susan?
Well, I was on TV during the 80s.
So you have evidence of
your
mistakes.
Oh, the big hair that was permed and the shoulder pads that were looked like they were borrowed from, you know, a 49ers football uniform. And I'll tell you what, the only thing that makes me feel good is sometimes Oprah shows some of her old shows and you see these old pictures and she was wearing the same junk too. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was lovely. It was lovely clothing and borrowed, dressed for the show kind of thing. You wore it for the show and then, changed after. But
I guess it could be said that, though, that for its time, that was not a fashion mistake. That
No. This was absolutely, in vogue.
I have one that really haunts me, and even at the time, it wasn't a very good choice. And that was for my wedding day.
Oh, I was going to say, it's so funny you read my mind. Go ahead. I was just looking at pictures. Yes, go ahead.
I suspect a lot of people aren't happy with what they wore on their wedding day. We got married in Hawaii, and so we didn't want to be overdressed because you're in a tropical place.
Right.
So we tried to sort of go in the middle. I wore, I just can't even look at the pictures. I wore a pastel green suit that was like, you remember those oversized kind of shoulder padded, loosely fitting kind of suits that men used to wear in the 80s? It was like big. It was oversized.
Oh,
so I wore that. I didn't like it the day I bought it, and yet I couldn't come up with something better. So I wore it and I regretted it for the past 30 years. Just
well, saying. Here, let me put your mind at ease. First of all, on the wedding day, and it's true with the wedding pictures after, maybe, I don't know, now they should be just a source of humor probably and maybe reminiscence, but everybody's looking at the bride. So it was all about your wife.
She, Jill hated what she wore as well, so that doesn't help.
Oh, really?
She wore a short white skirt and a kind of a cool off the shoulder like a top. But she had on a hose, hose.
Pantyhose.
So she felt like she looked like a nurse.
Well, you know, I mean, I think back.
Which is appropriate because she was 10 years younger than me, so she'd be like my nurse, which is kind of like, yeah.
Well, how about the guys that wore mullets, those mullet haircuts?
I always wanted a mullet.
When they were wearing long hair, and they wore that on their wedding day with a tux. I mean, to look back on that, talk about cringe city. Holy cow.
Always wanted a mullet. Never could grow one properly.
Don't waste your time.
In the 70s, like you, I have a lot of images of myself wearing weird hair because I was on the air as well in those days. And I had football hair. Because I have curly hair, and in order to make it straight enough so that I could comb it over and make it look like appropriate, I'd glue it down with hairspray, and it literally looked like I was wearing like a black volleyball on my head.
You know, this is the downside of working in television. I mean, now everybody's kind of dealing with this, but except they don't realize it yet. Well, maybe they do. I don't know, with the selfies and everything. All this stuff lives forever now. But, you know, if you worked in television and somebody's got something on, you should pardon the old expression, tape, It could be out there.
I think the problem is we were trying to look like other anchor people, news people, which is a problem in fashion in general. When you adopt a fashion in order to look like other people, in order to emulate the look of someone else, you're probably making a mistake, don't you think?
Well, it depends. I mean, if something's in fashion, you know, I don't think I wore braids when I was, you know, 8 or 9, but I wouldn't wear them now. Although maybe I'd wear one braid down the back of my head if I, you know, if I had enough hair. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's certain things that are, you have to see what's current and what's, you know, really out of style and get rid of that. And then you have to see what works for you. So I think it's a little of both.
There are pictures of, you know, actresses and things who wore leg warmers, let's say, in the 70s.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And they look just as cute then as, when looking back. But then there's others of us who will look at a trend that we tried to adopt and did it badly. And it's just embarrassing, basically.
Well, remember Jane Fonda's workout tape?
Yeah,
or you probably at least saw the box that it came in.
Oh, wow.
And she had, I think she had the leg warmers and the tights and everything.
Right.
And she had the big hair. And all of that stuff, probably nobody would wear today. But I think, you know, it's Jane Fonda. She looks fabulous no matter what. She still looks cute in that, you know. But you know it was then, you know.
I just think you make a mistake when you try too hard to look like everybody else. I remember when I was growing up was it high school? Maybe it was junior high. There was a trend for a while of wearing fluorescent neon shirts with matching fluorescent neon socks.
Where was this?
See, you don't even remember. But if I had adopted that like everybody else, I would look back on that with regret as well. So I'm just
saying. You didn't do it.
I didn't do it. I went my own way.
Good move.
I kept wearing the corduroy pants.
Oh, well.
And the black socks. Tube socks. Remember tube socks? I love those.
Yes, you can probably still get them at the supermarket or something.
I'd go back to tube socks so fast if we could. Oh, those were great. All right. Let's move on to our next topic, which is kind of related. This buyer survey reveals what's hot and what's not in home features for 2019. It was done by the National Association of Home Builders. They surveyed 4,000 people to find out what they thought was must-have items in new homes today.
Yeah, okay.
Among them, of course, laundry rooms, open concept kitchen, stainless steel appliances, granite countertops, hardwood flooring.
I want to know one thing right now, because I've read this here, that I read the information here. Who's living like this? I want to know.
Well, a lot of people are living like this, and it is true. All these things on this list are things that when you buy a new house, you kind of want that stuff in your house. And the reason why I think this is interesting is because it's real possible that you may have a house that's out of style. Mm-hmm. So if you want to sell your house, there's quite a few things that people don't want in a house that you may have put in.
Okay.
So you don't need an elevator or a wine cellar.
Of course not.
They don't need a pet washing station or dual toilets in the master bathroom. Oh,
that's two toilets to clean.
Speaking of toilets, when I was young, my parents built a house. And so my mom thought, this is a good opportunity to get the thing I always wanted, a purple toilet. So she installed in the bathroom, the master bathroom upstairs, a purple toilet, a purple tub, a purple sink, and those purple facilities stayed in that bathroom until we sold the house, and I'm sure it was the one thing that the new owners ripped out immediately.
I'm sure, yes. My mother had a bathroom that it was, she always said, it looks like they bought what was left on sale, because it had a blue and pink tile floor and pink tiles on the wall. That wasn't so bad. But then the appliances, the tub, the sink, and the toilet were gray.
Gray. Yeah, that was trendy too.
Ah, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. You've seen a lot of pink toilets, haven't you? I've seen those in people's houses.
Yes, I have.
With the carpeting on the lid and all that stuff.
Stay boring when you're doing the bathroom over. Just stay with boring white.
Stay white. Yeah. Well, Samsung commissioned a survey of 4,000 people recently, asking for the worst home design trends of the past 50 years. Among them, carpeted or textured walls. Living room bars, like, people used to put built-in bars in their living rooms, which were cool, sort of, in the 60s, but not so cool today. People do not want to see a bidet in the bathroom. Now,
is that men people or women people?
Here's the thing. I think people like a bidet. They like the idea of a bidet. You just don't want someone else's bidet. Because... you know what it's been doing for the last 30 years.
Yeah, but it's the water's fresh.
I know. People don't like used brick. They don't like the pots and pans rack over the island. Remember, that was a big thing. You'd hang up all your pots and pans right over the kitchen island. If you cook. Shag carpeting anywhere is out.
Yeah.
And sliding glass doors, people don't love those anymore. They'd much prefer the French doors to the sliding glass doors.
I never liked sliding glass doors. I don't like them.
Intercoms? Did you remember when every new home used to have an intercom system?
Yeah. I think if you have a lot of kids or people living with you, probably it makes sense. Or a new baby in the house, and you have a large house. But if you have a smaller house and less people, a lot of this stuff goes away.
I think that was a trend that came and went. And one of the things you learn about building something into your house is it's really hard to take it out. So
the key is if
you're building a new house, make everything you put into it easy to remove. All right, moving on to our next topic. More parents are leaving unequal inheritances to their adult kids. Uh-oh, you're gone, you're dying, but you leave one of your kids more money than the others. A good way to start a fight. According to a new study from Merrill Lynch Bank of America and AgeWave, 2/3 of Americans believe that it's absolutely okay to give an uneven split of the inheritance. What do you think about that?
You might look and say, well, you know, who did what for mom and dad at the end of their lives, perhaps? Or who was there to help them? Or who's in bigger need? Because if you've got two kids and one has some, you know, is a CEO of a high tech company, and the other one is, an artist who works time to time or, you know, drives an Uber cab once in a while and isn't that successful at that, maybe. The second one's going to need more. And so I think you help the one that is more in need.
It's a tricky situation to navigate. I would think the best way to do it is if you're on your deathbed, talk to the one that you want to give the least amount of money to and check it out with them to make sure it's okay. Sort of saying,
on your deathbed? Don't you think that's a little late in the game?
Yeah, well, or you're right. Maybe we don't wait till you're absolutely about to kick the bucket.
But I do think...
Give yourself a few weeks in advance. But, I mean, talk to the guy. Like, if you're saying that one of your children is wealthy and the other, he doesn't need the money and the other ones do, talk to him and say, John, I know you're going to be okay, but I'm worried about your little sister, Susie, and I want to give her more money than I'm giving you. I hope you understand. I think that would... sort of smooth everything over and make everything just fine. 40% of people say that they believe they had received unequal inheritances and felt that wasn't fair. What do you feel about treating biological children different than adopted children?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. Actually, it shouldn't be tough. I think probably you divide it up the way you're going to divide it up, as if they were both biologically yours.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah, I don't think there should be any difference between the adoption and not. I think that's,
weird, according to the survey, 40% of people who answered the survey believed that you don't need to treat biological children the same as adopted children. I think that's wrong.
I think that's wrong.
If you've
too.
Adopted a child, that is your child. It isn't
that's right.
a different kind of child. It's the child. So
that's right.
Same way with blended families, like the Brady Bunch, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens if Mr. Brady dies? Does he split the money up evenly with Marcia and the girls as well as the boys? Of course he does, because they're all his kids.
I think so. I think again, how are you going to do this? And how would you do it if everybody was all together from the get-go? Okay. And your relationships are your relationships, whether this is somebody that's a blended family, a bonus child, a stepchild, whatever you want to call the person, or an adopted child. I mean, that child is your child. This is your family.
Yep.
And if you have a bad relationship with a bio kid and a better relationship with a kid you've adopted, that probably factors in.
It gets very tricky when you start trying to weigh the value of each child and what they've either done or not done for you, or the successes or failures that they've had in their life, or the how much money that they're making and what they're worth. When you start weighing all that and putting a dollar figure on it, boy, it gets tricky. So the standard advice among experts is divide your estate equally between your children.
Yeah, I don't know if I go along with that one. Okay. I really think it. The only thing I would say is this, though. Don't wait. I mean, do have the conversation and don't wait until you're diagnosed with a terminal illness. Do it early when, there's nothing riding on. You say, let's sit down and talk about this. And this is what I want to do. And this is why I'm leaving your brother a little more, because he is not doing as well as you are. If you're fine and doing well, a lot of times if you've got a kid who's that successful, a lot of times those kids will say, fine, do it. What do I need another,
And bottom line, there shouldn't really be any major surprises at the reading of the will. Let's do one more survey. Here we go from the American something or another. I don't even know the name where this thing came from. But according to this new survey, more than half of American pets are too fat.
This is the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention.
Can I
get a job there? Go ahead.
According to this, 59% of cats and 55% of dogs are overweight or obese. Hmm. Well, our cat is a little bit too fat, but I don't think he cares. He seems pretty happy. So I don't know if there's a lot of harm to being overweight if you're a house cat. What do you think?
I think if you're a house cat, you don't run around as much. My cats are always indoor cats. And every now and then a veterinarian will say, he needs to lose a little weight. We used to do this with babies years ago. When we were babies, they used to fatten us up. I think we've transferred some of this feeding as care to our pets.
Yeah,
because
we want
not
them
doing
to
it
love
with our
us.
Children.
And there's very little you can give your dog or your cat that they'll really enjoy. I mean, with humans, you can give them toys, you can give them all kinds of experiences, you can take them play. With a dog or a cat, the biggest thing they've got going in their day is some little treat, some food item that they love, right? So you feel an obligation to give them something.
That's wrong. The highlight of my cat's day is me.
Well, that's what you think. Well, that was all we got for you for today. Susan, I, as always, every week we want to ask you this one question, and I'm just going to just blurt it right out, and that is, what is your thought of the week?
Well, I think it goes back to the house. And if you're selling your home, don't put carpeting around the toilet.
I love it. That's my very favorite one. Don't put carpeting around your toilet. We are glad you joined us today for Older and Wiser. For all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus, visit us at olderandwiser.com.